Hello everyone, you're very welcome to SVP Radio. My name is Michael Higgins. Before we begin, just a gentle reminder that the National Members Day will take place on Saturday, April 20th in the Convention Centre in Dublin. It's an opportunity to celebrate 180 years of SVP in Ireland. So if you're available, please register when you get a chance, and emails and documentation will be circulated in the coming weeks. Our guest for our fourth episode is John Lupton, current National Vice President for Members and a former Regional President of the Midwest. John is also a long-standing member of St. Cronan's Conference in Roscrea. We thought it would be good to talk to John because he really understands the importance and the benefits that home visitation practice provides to people in their communities. And this complements the work we're currently doing with members around the country through our Town Hall project, where we're gathering feedback and insights from members about the challenges and opportunities that currently exist, so that we'll be better placed to support members and the people that we assist. We hope you find this conversation useful and insightful, and hopefully it helps reaffirm the importance of home visitation practice, which remains at the core of what SVP does. I began by asking John how he got involved originally with SVP.
I became a member of Vincent de Paul nearly 41 years ago, March 1983, I think. There's two answers to that question. There's a short and a long answer. And first of all, I'll give you the short one. I was asked by a neighbour here in Roscrea, would I join Vincent de Paul and replace him? And I suppose that leads me to the more in-depth answer as to why I said I would. That goes back, I suppose, to my childhood. My father was a shopkeeper. He had a bar and grocery, and we lived over the shop, basically. I noticed at an early age that some people came into the shop with a Vincent de Paul voucher. He was one of four or five shops in the town that would supply, I think they called them purveyors. He would get the Vincent de Paul vouchers for a month or so, and then another shop would do likewise. Of course, I was conscious of the fact at the time that confidentiality was a big issue, but yet there was that confidentiality or secrecy. And I suppose it always stuck in my mind that there was good work being done, and it probably struck in my mind also that poverty, I suppose, at the time, as I saw it, went further than lack of food. People were marginalized and isolated. That experience sort of gave me a window into what larger society was like and how people interacted and how comfortable people were and how uncomfortable people could be if they were marginalized through need. There was also, I suppose, the ethos of the society, its Christian ethos. I was born a Christian and brought up a Christian, brought up under the Catholic tradition. I always taught from that there was more to religion than words, and actions were more called for. And I suppose I saw this as an opportunity to do something positive.
In the first few years that you were involved with SVP, what surprised you most?
There was negativity and there was positivity and there was challenges and opportunity. From a negative point of view, I felt that often during those first few years, I questioned myself as to why I was a member. I didn't seem to be involved in things. There was pairs that used to go on visitation, and indeed, at that time, there was some visits done by individuals by themselves, which wouldn't be allowed today. And on the positive side, I was struck by the generosity of members and by the commitment that they gave, basically. It came across in those earlier years the influence that the culture of a conference had. And many of the things I felt in the earlier years are things that informed my membership, and maybe at the moment would inform the challenges that we must face in the society.
And taking your experience from that time to now, what do you hold on to as what's most special about visiting people where they live, and why is visitation so important to St. Vincent de Paul?
Visitation, I think, is everything, Michael. And we say that we must visit people where they live, and that is true. But that's not the ultimate goal. I think the ultimate goal is to visit people at where they are at. In order to do that, it's almost necessary, I think, to visit people where they live. But I mean, we could visit people where they live and not go to where they are at, which takes it's a further journey, and a journey along the road towards empathy and being able to appreciate the struggle that people face. I think when someone comes to Vincent de Paul, it's not easy, first of all, for them to make that contact. And when we go to visit, we have a power over people. People come to us in their need. They look to us to respond to that need and to deal with that need to an extent. So we have an enormous power over people. And that is an issue that challenges us to deal with it, so that we can actually, that we can change that balance between ourselves and those we visit. So in order to do that, it's very important, I think, that we go to where people live rather than we ask them to come to where we are. And secondly, having done that, we also allow them to invite us into our homes so that they can take back some of that power. That's a great privilege.
That kind of leads me to a question I had around trying to balance the dynamic as you outlined it there, and trying to ensure that the relationships at local level are kind of nearly a partnership approach and are very respectful on both sides. And would you have any insight into what you have learned from people you visited over the years? Is there any common themes that tend to crop up and that you have taken on board yourself, both within SVP and maybe even beyond?
It's very important, Michael, I think, that we feel that we appreciate what we learn from people that we visit. I think in order to understand the poverty that people are experiencing, we must come to realize our own poverty in order to appreciate fully the poverty that others experience. I suppose one situation I do recall, and I probably spoke about this at Members' Day, about 20 years ago, my visiting partner and myself visited this lady who struggled in life. We visited her one cold night, and she had a big fire lighting, and we sat down and she talked about her children, and she talked about her eldest son who was in prison and her second eldest son who was going to go to prison, she told us. And at the time, I suppose my eldest son was about the same age as her eldest son, and my second son was the same age as her second son. My eldest son was in university. My second son was to go into university. And I just said to myself, you know, maybe even unknown to my visiting partner at the time, how would I deal with that situation if it were reversed? Would I have the same love for my children that she had for her children then? And I came out of that house that night, and often when I'd come out of the house, I'd say, there but for the grace of God go I, and felt that I left the poverty behind me. But that night I felt I brought the poverty with me that she had. She was a richer woman than I was in a way, because she was able to appreciate the real things of life and have that love in her situation. So that's one time I learned a lot, I think, from a person I visited. And it made me more open, I suppose, after that, to see the heroism. I mean, majority of the people that I visit, as it so happens, are single parents. And to see the heroism of usually single mothers that are left without little or no support and that live heroic lives. and that are able to cope in the face of great difficulties. That has been an enormous privilege for me to be able to witness that in people's houses. I feel that whatever little that I give through my membership of Vincent de Paul, it's minuscule compared to what I gain from people that I do visit.
It sounds like you draw strength from their strength in some ways, from what you're saying.
I very much do so, Michael, yeah.
When you're talking about assisting people locally, and everybody's case is different, everybody's circumstances are different, it can be sometimes tricky to understand what exactly that they might need in the short, medium and longer term. And you've been to the forefront of promoting the assessment of need process and encouraging members to take the time to view people's circumstances in a holistic way as much as is reasonably possible to ask. Can you just explain a little bit of why that is so important for members to do that with people, and what benefits the people we help can get from that?
When I joined Vincent de Paul early on, one thing that struck me was a certain cynicism among the membership to people that we were dealing with for on a long-term basis. And I found that that same cynicism was sort of taking root in myself. And then looking at that and then looking at the needs of people that we served even on a long-term basis, I found that we did very little assessment of need, and yet we were providing vouchers, and it reminded me of someone going to a doctor or whatever and not being assessed as to what their problem is, and we're giving generic tablets. It didn't really make sense. I felt that we were unfair to people and did not look at them holistically. And so I suppose out of that, I felt there was a need to assess immediate need. But as Frederick Ozanam told us, that we have an obligation to study the circumstances of those we assist, that we look at the root causes of their situation and usually maybe the injustices involved, and that we do something, that we walk with them, and that we not be satisfied to tie people over the poverty trap, and that we walk with them and we allow them to restore themselves from poverty into independent living. So everyone has a right to live life to the full. We must assist them. If we don't do that, we waste an opportunity, and we waste the goodness and the generosity of those people in inviting us into their homes. We waste that valuable opportunity. We're in a privileged situation.
And you may have come across this as well, that sometimes there's a wee bit of confusion around the fact that part of our ethos is being non-judgmental. But I think, is it fair to say that we're non-judgmental of somebody's character? We do have to be judgmental of their circumstance. And the assessment of need form is a mechanism to review their circumstance, to provide as much help as is fair and reasonable.
Yeah, I'd agree with you fully, Michael. It is. And I think that it's within our nature to be judgmental. The assessment of need process allows us the opportunity to be judgmental. But as you say, judgmental of the circumstances of the need, basically, and what has caused the need, and to be able to define the need rather than to misplace that judgment into personal judgment. And if we don't have that process of being able to assess need, we fall into the trap of being judgmental of people and looking at things that really make no difference, especially in today's society. Many people in need today, they don't have the outward appearances of need, as we might have recalled that 30 or 40 years ago. And I mean, they may have the outward appearance of wealth and being well-to-do. You cannot judge. One time people used to talk about the size of a person's television or God knows what, like, you know. Now maybe it's registration of the car or whatever, but especially with rising mortgage interest over the last couple of years, there's many people in very serious financial difficulty that would have the outward appearance of wealth and being well-to-do and whatever, but maybe may not be able to afford to pay their mortgage or to put food on the table.
Something that I think is related to what you're talking about is the legal structure of SVP. And if our listeners might bear with me while I ask you this, because I've heard you speak about this before, and the way you articulate it is directly related to the nature of how and when we give help. So if I could ask you, who actually owns SVP and what implications does that have for how we provide support to people?
Society of Vincent de Paul is a trust, and that is the structure of the entity. A trust basically is something that's set up for the benefit of beneficiaries or potential beneficiaries of the organization. And trust is managed by trustees. The fundamental concept of trusteeship is a fiduciary responsibility. The trustees cannot act for themselves, but act for the beneficiaries. So the beneficiaries are the owners of the trust. And all of the resources of the trust, including financial resources, belong to the beneficiaries. And it is a matter for the trustees to ensure that the resources of the trust are allocated to the beneficiaries and are done so efficiently and having gone through a process. That's why assessment of need is so important. So any monies that the Society of Vincent de Paul has belongs to the people in need that it serves, or the people that it may be asked to potentially serve into the future. So I think while the Society of Vincent de Paul is managed by a board of trustees made up of 13 trustees, 13 people who are volunteers who are trustees of the society, they can only act as trustees if the membership at all levels of the society has the same concept, the same attitude, builds up the same culture, and visits and talks to people, knowing that it is not for themselves that they do so, but they do so agents of a trust, if you like, and they do so to the benefit of the people we serve.
As you know, John, the Society is reviewing how it does its work through a process around an organizational strategy. We on the member support side are looking at how visitation practice goes ahead and what extra supports members might require. And we're undergoing a project at the moment around the country to try to get feedback from members through a town hall project, for example, and hopefully existing and maybe new members are getting involved and grappling with the challenges. They would recognize that Ireland is changing and there's a lot going on. And in kind of trying to summarize everything in one go is difficult, I know, but would you have any particular advice or guidance for new and existing members as they kind of put the shoulder of the wheel locally, if you like, and continue with their visitation in the coming months and years?
Well, I suppose as a member of the society, I'd be slow to advise fellow members because their journey is unique to a degree, but there are common denominators, of course. I think there's a certain irony when we talk about change. I mean, the world has changed and changed utterly from time that Frederick Ozanam and his colleagues set up the first conference of charity, which became the Society of the St. Vincent de Paul. And that change has been enormous. And at the same time, when we look at the writings of Frederick Ozanam and we say how applicable they are today, and they are as applicable today and as relevant today as they were 190 years ago. So that's amazing when you look at the changed world that we're living in now. But if we're to deal with that change, and I would advise members that, and ironically, we should look back to 190 years ago, look at the concepts that he dealt with and the advice that he gave. And if we are to deal with the changes that have taken place, because the basic principles of living are the same, there are still people in poverty today as there was at that time. Poverty is different to a degree. 4, 5, 6 years ago, I suppose, the National Management Council looked at the wording of the mission statement where it referred to the poor, changed it to those experiencing poverty, which meant basically it could be me today, it could be you tomorrow. Poverty didn't define people as maybe it did before. And I think we need to have a different attitude to things. We need to change our orientation. But if we were to do everything that we should be doing in accordance with our ethos, we would be well equipped to meet the changes that present themselves to us today. As I said earlier, when I was a young child, I saw the people that came into my father's shop and how they were marginalized and whatever. We're better able to deal with that today. People are not identified by a Vincent de Paul voucher. There's a lot of positives today. That is the change I think that we must celebrate. And when we go to visit people, it's not really the voucher is the most important thing. It's how people are and the trauma that people are suffering through their situation. We must be conscious of that. When we get to see people on visitation, we find that many of them are suffering from anxiety. We must meet that challenge, I think. So there's changes, but there's positive and negatives to the change.
Of course. And I think that's a good place to kind of wrap up, as you summarize that so well. And I think, as said at the beginning, the purpose of this chat was to help members and maybe people beyond to better understand why visitation is important to SVP, the philosophy and the ethos that informs that work, the methodologies that are used to try to ensure people are given as much help as possible. And I appreciate you sharing some of your own personal stories and insights that I think will resonate with fellow members. And as everybody's listening, we very much appreciate you taking the time to share that with us today. So thanks very much, John. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Michael. It's a pleasure, and I hope many people celebrate the membership of Vincent de Paul, because I truly believe it gives meaning and purpose to human life. Thanks very much.